Our reading today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, which is in the Old Testament. If you have a copy of the Church Bible, it's on page 130. And it's from chapter 6, verses 1 to 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised you on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all the enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. When the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, before our eyes the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on earth to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness.
Well, good morning again. I've said good morning to many people this morning. It's been kind of busy for me, strangely enough, and a bit of an emotional morning. If you are thinking about getting your children baptised, I can let you know it's not a package deal. You don't have to preach the sermon just because you've got your kids baptised. But that's the way that I've chosen to do it. So let's pray that ask that God will help me to speak clearly, help everyone here to hear, and give this time to him. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you that we can gather around your word this morning. Please help me, as I seek to explain it, to speak clearly. Father, we ask that people might hear you as we look here at these pages in Deuteronomy. And we ask that by your Spirit you will enable us to take that and apply it to our lives. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Steve said, we're in the middle of a sermon series, and with a number of people who haven't heard the previous sermons, why don't we just take a quick moment and talk about what the story is so far. So we're here at Deuteronomy 6, which means we've missed the first five chapters of Deuteronomy, which is talking about the process for where the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt, and God had delivered them out of that slavery in Egypt. He delivered them through the plagues that convinced Pharaoh that it was time to let God's people go. And those plagues escalated until in the end there was the plague of the death of the firstborn. And God's people were saved as they painted the blood of a lamb over their doorframe. And God passed over that house. And all the other houses, the firstborn, died. And at that point the Egyptians said, it is time for those people to go. And they left. And they have been coming to the promised land, a land that was promised by God to Abraham back before the people were even in Egypt. He promised Abraham that he would be giving him a great land. He would be making him into a great nation. And the people have been waiting for many hundreds of years for those promises to be fulfilled. They're slaves in Egypt. They're rescued out. They come. They go to Mount Sinai. They have the Ten Commandments given to them. They meet with God. They see his glory. And things look like they're going well. They come to the edge of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. They send in some spies. They see that the land that the Lord is giving them is good. And they get cold feet. And they forget that God is good to them. They forget that God is the one who will give them the land. And so they don't listen to God. And they don't go and take the promised land. And as a consequence, they now have to wander in the wilderness until that generation dies. 38 years before they all die, 40 years in total wandering in the wilderness. And we come now to Deuteronomy where that has finished. That generation has died. They are ready again to move into the promised land. They've had some victories over the way. They have trusted in God. They have defeated Sihon, the king of Hezbon. They have defeated Og, the king of Bashan. And they have come and they are ready to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land, the land that God is going to give them, a land that is described as flowing with milk and honey. And Moses stops and he talks to the people. And that's what we have now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, is Moses talking to the people about the promised land. And to me, it's a little bit like when I talk to my kids when we're just about to go into the shops. I don't know if you have to have the same sort of conversation with your children when you get to the shops. But I normally find that I stop and I pause and I turn around and I have to say things like, now, this is not a touching shop. This is a looking shop. You know, or if we're going to get something specific, we are going and we are just getting milk. We're not going to get distracted by going past the chocolate aisle. And so Moses, it feels like he's having to stop and turn the people around and say, this land is not a touching land. This land is a land where you will be different from the other people that are there. You will be God's people in the land and you will live according to his rules, not the rules of the people who are already there. Look with me again at chapter 6, if you've got it open, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Moses is starting to talk about the commands for the land, the way the people are to live in the land. And the first thing that he tells them is that they must love the Lord. God explained the commands, and the first command was that I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The first thing Moses tells the people, they must love the Lord their God.
Look further down through the passage, say verses 13 through 19. Fear the Lord your God, serve only him, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow the other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is jealous, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord, as you did at Massah. And now, if you don't know what happened there, that's that famous incident with the water from the rock, where Moses brings the water from the rock. He strikes the rock, and the water comes first, and the people who are thirsty have water to drink, and that water is provided by the Lord. But why was that them testing him? Two reasons. The people were grumbling. The people had forgotten that the Lord had been providing for him, and he knows that they are thirsty. He will provide water for them. But the people grumble. And Moses himself forgets, possibly through his frustration with the people. And instead of speaking to the rock, as the Lord had instructed him to do, he strikes the rock with his staff. And God in his faithfulness still brings the water, even though Moses strikes rather than speaks. He got confused. It's still an S word. But they tested the Lord. And Moses is saying in the land, do not test the Lord as you did at Massah. Do not get distracted by the other gods of the people who lived here before. Pick it up again in verse 17. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out your enemies before you, as the Lord said. This land is not a touching land. You're not to go and behave like the people who were there before you. This is the land that the Lord is giving you, Moses is saying. And in this land you are to love the Lord. You are to obey his decrees and to live his way. And Moses tells them this because they so easily forget. And we, I think, so easily forget. We forget things all the time. You know, I know even within my family, it's easy to forget the unconditional love that my children give me. I know when they were younger, and you'd have one of those nights when the children are crying and it feels like that they will never, ever go to sleep. They will never stop crying. Every one of those nights, I was convinced that I would never get to sleep again in my entire life. Fortunately, I was wrong. And I did get to sleep again in my life. And those things pass. But we forget. When I'm onto my fourth child and awake in the middle of the night, I forget that I will actually get to sleep again. And the people, through their time in the wilderness, through their time in Egypt, forget. And so Moses encourages them. And he tells them that they too need to teach these commands, and particularly to their children. Let's look again at verses 6 to 9, if you've got it there. So Moses has just said that they are to love the Lord with all their hearts and soul and with all their strength. These commands that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do you think Moses is trying to make a point here? That perhaps these are commands that should be infused in everything that they are doing. Look what he says. Do it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Impress it upon your heart. Teach it to your children. Moses is encouraging them that the commands need to be taught, that we need reminders, that the people need reminders. And I wonder when he points out those door frames, write them on your door frames and on your gates, if their minds go back to the last thing that they put on their door frames, which was the blood of the lamb before they left Egypt. And that blood said, God's people live in this house. And Moses tells the people to write these commands on their doorframes that say that God's people live in this house. Not only is this land not a touching land where you don't do things the way that everyone else did, this house is a house that is for the Lord and set apart and lives according to his principles and his commands. And so what's that going to be? Does that mean that we need to take Moses' examples of, you know, writing them on our hearts? We need to get tattoos that says, you know, John 3:16, you know, that people can see whenever I'm at the beach? Does it mean I need to redecorate my house and I need to, you know, put, you know, the commandments as my door frame? Does it mean that at the table we can't talk about the cricket or what you did today at school? Does it mean that when I lie down I need to chant things? When I get up I need to recite things? No, I don't think that's the point that Moses is trying to make. It's not that, you know, they are the only things that can ever be spoken about. But it should be part of everything that we do. And they're teaching the children. Teach your children. And so that example of at the table is maybe a great way to think about that. You know, firstly, it's probably a good thing to, you know, sit down as a family and eat dinner together. And in our busyness of lives, that can be hard. And even if you don't have children at home, just as the family, the husband and wife or whatever it is, eating together and talking, and as you sit in your home, not just talking about the cricket, but also talking about the good things that God has given us. Perhaps using that time to open the Bible and to spend some time looking at God's word together, not just by yourself, but also doing it as part of the activity in the home. It was suggested to me the other day that there was some good resources for that, including some that the Good Book Company had put together. And there was some about, you know, sharing with your children. So I went and had a look at this real family and they're at the table. And I think it's one of the authors of some of the material that you can use to help teach your children about the Lord. And so even the author of this material is sitting there and you can see keeping the children on track is challenging. I can speak from personal experience that topic maintenance is not the strong suit of a 3-year-old. Topic maintenance is not the strong suit of a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 37-year-old. And that is why Moses encourages the people that in all that they do to keep remembering, to teach their children, to set their lives and their homes apart as somewhere where the Lord's commands are renewed and refreshed and reflected upon and integrated into all that is done. And the reason that he is so focused on that is because we so quickly forget. And so the third thing that Moses reminds them as they stop before they go into the land is to remember the slavery that they have come from. We teach because we forget, so remember. Remember the slavery. Take a look, if you will, again at verses 20 through to 25. In the future, when your son or daughter asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulation, decrees and laws that the Lord our God has commanded you? And that's probably a good thing, because I guess in the future, if your son or daughter is asking you that, it's because you've talked about them. You've done that hit list of, you know, door frames and at the table and things that Moses was talking about before. But when they ask you, what is the meaning of the decrees? Tell him or her, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on an oath to our forefathers. The Lord commands us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive as is the case today. And if we are careful and obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. What is the meaning of the commands? You were slaves in Egypt. It was not a good place. And for all that the people forget and they reminisce and they go, oh, it was so much better in Egypt, it was terrible in Egypt. They were building things like pyramids. There was no minimum wage. They were slaves in Egypt. And the Lord brought them out into this fabulous land. The land that's described in verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to give your forefathers, the land he promised to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This land is going to be a good land. It's going to have fabulous cities that they're going to be able to take and inhabit. There's going to be vineyards and crops that will provide food and nourishment and good food for them that they have not had to toil to prepare and to start. But in the face of that, Moses says, don't forget the slavery. All these good things are because the Lord has delivered you. And in this land, we are to live his way. But he is a jealous God. And if we forget him, his anger will burn against his people and they will lose their ownership of the land. And they will be like slaves again, as they were in Egypt. And I think it's interesting when Moses talks about that, those fabulous cities that they did not build. If they thought back to Babel, where the people were building a fabulous city and they said to themselves, this is great. If we work together, we can do all things. And they forgot about God. And friends, that is probably our challenge as we live in a fabulous city that we did not build. Where we live with all sorts of things that are provided for us that for the most part we have not had to start from scratch. And in many respects we have. But even as a society there is a infrastructure and there is support that gives us a great leg up. And leaving aside today's weather, we live in a fabulous climate. And it is easy for us to forget the Lord. And Moses says, remember to the Israelites, that you were slaves. But what about us? That's great, but we weren't slaves in Egypt. And the Lord hasn't delivered us from Egypt. This tells us a number of things about God. It tells us that he wants to give good things to his people. That he wants to provide for them. But he is a jealous God. And he will brook no competition. He will not share his sovereignty with anything or everyone. And whilst we weren't slaves in Egypt, we were slaves in our rebellion from God and in putting ourselves first and not him. And slaves in our own sin. But like his people in Egypt, he has delivered them from Egypt. He has delivered us by great and terrible signs when he sent his son to die, that we might no longer be slaves to sin, but we might be able to live for him. And when Jesus is asked what is the greatest command, he has the same answer as Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Friends, God acts to rescue his people. He acted in the Old Testament and he rescued them from slavery in Egypt. And if you were to read the rest of the narrative of the Old Testament, you will see that the people forget. And then they'll remember again. And God will restore them again. And then they'll forget. And then he'll restore them again and they'll remember again. And we see this pattern and this cycle and it keeps going of people remembering and forgetting and remembering and forgetting until it gets to the end where they are almost annihilated. And then he sends Jesus. As the remembering that will last, the remembering for all time, the remembering that will deliver them for all days. And for those of us who live after Jesus' death and resurrection, when we think about the pattern of teaching our children, the pattern of teaching our children is probably not to teach them the Ten Commandments, because we are not people who need to relate to God through the law. But the pattern of what we need to be teaching them now is that it is through Jesus that you can relate to God. And on our door frames, we can write, Christ is Lord. And we need to remind our children. We need to remind ourselves because we so quickly forget. And friends, that is one of the reasons why we brought our children this morning, to remind them that Jesus is Lord. That they live in a house where God's people live. And so whilst they are children in that house, they share in those promises. And we trust that in time, they will own that for themselves. And they too will teach their children. But this pattern of teaching and reminding and remembering may continue to go forward. When you live in the land that the Lord has given you, do not forget that you were slaves in Egypt. Friends, as we meet together and we live in this great land, do not forget that we were slaves to sin. And Jesus can take that away and has taken that away. And let us remind ourselves. Let us write that on our door frames. Let us talk about that as we sit in our homes, as we walk down the road, as we lie down, as we get up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you that you have saved your people so many times and in so many ways, that you saved them from slavery in Egypt, that you have saved us now through Jesus. Father, we pray that everyone will remember that you are sovereign, that you enable us in all things to reflect upon you, that things might go well for us, and that we might live your way. Amen.